Hello there. We're Vince and Elliot McNally.
Yes, the great-great-grandsons of map-making mogul Rand McNally.
And we'll be your hosts and tour guides on a trip across America, one small town at a time.
In the spirit of our great-great-grandfather, we're traveling the country writing the family's first almanac in over 50 years, Towns and Country, the McNally Brothers' comprehensive guide to small-town America.
Each week we'll be in a new town, and after getting to know the place and the people, we'll tell you, the listener, all there is to know.
In a show we call These Parts, a podcast putting towns on the map. You're listening to These Parts, which can only mean two things. One is that I'm Elliot McNally, and two is that the gentleman sitting to my right is my brother, friend, traveling companion, Vince McNally. Hi, Vince.
Hey, Elliot. I am so thrilled we're in quite a town today.
I am very thrilled too, not just because of the town we're in, but we are in really full force of the planning stages of RandCon.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's really coming together. I mean, every year has been more magnificent and exciting than the last, and this year looks to be no exception. We're finally starting to get the people set up for our open speaker round tables. Mm-hmm. And we just confirmed this morning a very special guest.
And who is that, can we say?
Elliot, you go ahead and do the honors.
Okay, well, guys, you know him, you love him. These Parts mailman, postman, Jim Trombley is going to be there. He has a sack of undeliverable mail that he will be throwing out to the audience when people arrive.
Trombley's parole officer has been generous enough to allow him onto the premises, even though children will be present. He'll be closely monitored by a team of canine units, but he will be there to answer all your questions about Kevin Costner, his hit movies, and whatever mail questions you might also have.
The other thing that we're planning is, of course, listeners know that we still don't know exactly where RandCon will be held. This is sort of an Olympic-like lobbying spectacle that goes on. People write in to try and get us to host RandCon in their town.
Absolutely. In the competition gets pretty political and pretty fierce.
Yeah, so the verdict is still out. Of course, if you are buying plane tickets, you'll have adequate time, a couple days until you can buy them. But when we figure it out, then there will be a torch ceremony where we light a competing map brand map on fire and we carry the torch all the way to that town to start RandCon.
That's right, Elliot. It's one of our proudest traditions. It goes all the way back to the 1800s when our great-great-grandfather broke into a competitor's map shop and burned the whole thing to the ground.
But Vince, I think we're going to burn the whole thing to the ground this episode because we are in an exquisite town that I think we should put on the map.
Great idea, Elliot.
So listeners at home, take out your comprehensive Rand McNally U.S. wall maps in whatever form you have it. Unsheath it, unfetter it, unfurl it, and get ready to stick a pin in Lanford, Vermont. But we're going to need some help. So Lanford, Vermont is actually the setting of the 1997 middle school science education film Mulch. Where does it come from? And not only that, guys, it was filmed to the 2007 follow-up Where Are They Now documentary feature. And Vince, with us today, we have two of the actors from that original film. Could you guys introduce yourselves?
I'm Dunt Crawford. I played the role of Mulch in Mulch, Where Does It Come From?
My name is Emmett Mastos. I was sometimes a camel boy, and other times I played a kid in the lunch womb.
The lunch womb?
Yeah, that's for lunch babies are made.
Dunn and Emmett.
No, you're saying my name wrong.
Oh, what is your name?
Dunt.
Dunt. There's a T on the end.
Mm. Well, yes. I for one am really touched that you guys would take the opportunity to meet with us, revisit this controversial project so many years after the fact. I think there are a lot of questions still on the minds of our listeners and, you know, the American public in general. So before we get into the nitty gritty, can you guys do us the honors of sticking a pin here in Lanford?
Wow, that was very squishy. I think, Vince, you put it on a big bucket of water this time, our map.
That would be the water bed, actually. This is our rollaway water bed that I tacked it to, which in retrospect, as the RV begins to slowly flood, may not have been the shrewdest move. That said, let's not dilly-dally anymore, Elliot. We have so much to talk about.
That's true. So, Dunton, Emmett, can you guys just give us a background of who you are quick and how you got involved in mulch? Where does it come from?
I was actually born in Wanford when I was 6 years old. I was in my mom's lunch womb for 6 full years before I was fully developed. And when I came out, my brain and my ears could hear everything outside before I was born. And I heard that they were making a movie about mulch. And I just love mulch because it took the doctors a long time to clean me up when I got out. So I smelled like mulch. And I just wanted to learn more.
And Dunt, what about you?
I'm a local. I was in the local theater program at the community theater. I was mostly doing some backstage tech work, pulling curtains, putting up lights, making sets and that kind of thing. My fraternal twin sister Misty, she was kind of like the star, and she had one of the starring roles, as I'm sure your audience knows, in Malta, Where Does It Come From? She played Betsy.
Yeah, of course.
The mulch discoverer, and I kind of tagged along, as I do, you know, when you have a twin, and I played the role of the mulch, which I think I was well suited to. As we all know, Misty, may she rest in peace, died 5 years ago.
Mulch-related injuries.
Some people say that the film is cursed.
And I think that's a perfect segue that we should get into in our next segment, Vince.
I couldn't agree more, Elliot.
That's Best Kept Secrets.
So, listeners, we all like to hear about the happy parts of the small towns that we visit. You know, the shining city halls and the welcome to Lanford signs. But it's not always about that. Sometimes it's about the seedy underbelly of the towns we stay in. The secrets that make the towns the towns. And I think our very insightful guests have more than a couple words to say about it. Of course, Mulch, Where Does It Come From? Starring a medical marvel in Emmett and a young actress whose career was just beginning, and you, Dunt. It must have been an exciting time on set. Maybe we can start there. What was it like filming the movie?
Filming the movie was really interesting because I was 6 years old at the time, mm-hmm. and I had never seen a movie before. All I knew was the smell of myself and mulch, which is, like, as I said, what attracted me. But still, even though, because of my six-year lunch womb development, I never grew eyeballs, they still made me camera boy. And I learned a lot about the camera just from touching. And
I just want to break in for a second, Emmett. Mm-hmm. You are really an inspiration to me on set. Like, as I've said on my blog, which a lot of people follow, I have an empty womb and it can never carry a child. But I felt on set like that you were my child in a way.
Dunt, that's really touching.
Yeah. Well, I just want to thank you because, like, you were inspiration to me. Like, you don't have eyeballs, but yet you see more than most people.
It's true. I'm what you would call an old soul.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You helped me too through the loss of Misty. You really did.
Yeah. I think the biggest part of that was I just looked within myself and I said, was going to help Dunt get through his difficult time. And so I scalped Misty and I wore her hair.
Yeah, that was really helpful.
Pretended to be her at night when you were sleeping.
Was this after she mysteriously died or before?
This is before.
Oh, okay. Was it related to the mysterious disappearance and death of your sister, or was that just
it hasn't been confirmed. Okay. So.
No one knows, not even me.
Yeah, but you really helped me. You really did.
What other things happened during the filming of this that still remain a mystery? I know that we were talking about what is seen and what is unseen, and what I want to talk about in this segment is what still remains to be unseen and the mysteries behind the filming of Mulch, Where Does It Come From?
Yeah, well, I just wanted to point out, this is a fact that, like, not a lot of people know, is that no mulch was actually used in the filming of Mulch, Where Does It Come From?
It was all you.
It was me, obviously. I played the role of the mulch. But it was not, we used no organic materials in my costume. It was all man-made mulch.
And spray paint.
And spray paint. Metal. And various strange goos that were not of this world.
It was my mulchy placenta.
Oh, is that what it was?
They didn't want to tell you that, but it was decoupage and mulchy placenta.
You know, that's probably why I felt that connection to you.
Yeah.
This has been extremely revealing already. Maybe we can take a turn to talk about something that was briefly touched on in the 2007 Where Are They Now documentary. That would, of course, be the romance that was alleged between your sister, Dunt, playing the role of Betsy, and the antagonist of the film, Peter the Peat Moss.
Yeah, that was true. I mean, there was a time when they were very, very well connected. I would catch them sucking face behind the local 7-Eleven. But unfortunately, as you know, Peter the Peat Moss met an untimely end as well. Died in a knife basket about 6 years ago.
People suspected him of killing Misty,
but he was dead before her, so that's impossible.
It was
even impossible. So some people say it was his ghost came back and did it.
I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but I'm one of those people. I've yeah. In my nightly feelings around where I just stick my hands out and I touch.
Yeah.
I remember I stumbled into the graveyard one night and I heard Pete. I could hear Pete's voice on the wind calling for Misty. And he was saying, "It's my ghost. I'm going to knife you, you asshole." Comma Misty.
Yeah.
He even said, "Comma Misty."
I would be a liar if I said I haven't heard that too some nights, you know.
It's a sad, sordid tale.
It is sad. It's a true tale, a Romeo and Juliet story, I think. And when you find a body next to a basket of knives, obviously people start to point fingers, but people don't realize that Pete actually had a job as a door-to-door knife salesman, and he would carry a basket of knives with him basically everywhere he went.
Yeah, you take on a risk when you take that job. People don't know that.
Yeah, people are going to think you're a murderer.
Murderer he is suspected to be. Some say it was his ghost. Others say it was part of a longly enacted plan to hire someone to kill Misty, hiring someone none other than the person who played the groundskeeper in the movie. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Keith Barrett, the groundskeeper.
Yeah,
Keith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He came to Lanford under strange circumstances. He got off of a train and with a suitcase and a revolver, and he said, "Yeehaw, here I come, Wild West." And we were there. We were.
Yeah.
This was before the film was being made. We were both working at the train station as ticket people.
But you weren't born yet, but you were still at the train station?
That's right. Okay. I was in my mom's lunchroom.
Yeah, in his mom. Yeah.
But it was like a movie where a monster absorbs people like Little Shop of Horrors, and you see their faces pressed through, giving warnings to the unsuspecting living. I gave Keith some very sound advice and told him he was in Lanford, Vermont.
And not the Wild West.
Correct.
Yeah. But I think the director saw something in him, you know?
Who was the head ticket person
at
the time? Yeah. This is before movies were in his head.
Well, and after the wrap of the filming, he rode off saying "Yeehaw, Wild West," but he rode into the Atlantic Ocean. No one ever saw him again.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to talk about the interview with Pete Moss, the actor who played him in the Where Are They Now follow-up, because his scenes were actually cut because he was in a Hannibal Lecter-style straitjacket and mask, and he was inaudible, so he couldn't even prove his innocence there.
No, they castrated him and put him into a bar knife fight. While he was still strapped to that table, he didn't have a chance.
Wow.
They just gave a knife to a guy.
So true.
And they made him stab him.
Yeah, so when people say this film is cursed, do you understand what they mean?
Yeah, people have been disappearing and dying all over the place.
We're the last two.
We're the last two.
Actually, Emmett.
Really?
That's true. Wow. I was reticent to bring it up so early in our discussion because I know from your 2007 interviews that it's a sensitive subject, but it surely has been a bit of a Final Destination-esque checkmark. Next to the names of all, it's another movie the characters die one by one. Do you two feel like the specter of death hangs over you at all times?
Absolutely, I do. If you've ever lost a twin, you'll understand the feeling that like half of your body is suddenly gone. When Misty left, I stopped using my left hand as kind of a tribute to her. And I'm left-handed, so that made things kind of hard for me.
I was going to inquire about the long cadaver-esque nails and hair that's hanging off of your left hand as if it's been unwashed and unused for nigh over a decade.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I don't touch it. I want it to look like her, you know, as close as I can to her rotting corpse in the ground, because I don't want to be parted from her. If you ever had a twin, you would understand that. Of course, we were fraternal, and I mean, she was beautiful, blonde, and buxom, and I was kind of short, squashed, and trolly.
Now you have a dead, stinky arm.
Yeah, that's not helping.
Vince, even though we're not twins, I mean, we're brothers. We're the closest thing we have to twins, so I know that I would do the same thing for you.
You would make your arm dead and stinky?
Elliot, I don't mean for you to take this the wrong way, but I cannot in good conscience say that I would do the same for you. That arm is putting off quite an aroma.
Smart man.
Understandable.
I've kind of, you know, even though I do feel every day like I could be next, I feel like I've half accepted it. And I'm just glad that I have Emmett here as kind of like my adopted son now in the meantime.
You know, as far as the specter of death hanging over your head, I became very paranoid for a while and I got addicted to pills.
Yeah.
Wow.
And very bad.
And I tried out for America's Got Talent to see how many pills I could take without getting sick. I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional.
It was emotional.
But I and the national attention got me a call from a doctor, and now I have a whole new reason to live with my relationship with Dunt, and the doctor got me robot eyes. So I actually... Dent and I are trying to move forward past the tragedy, and we're going to make our own movie.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be the camera boy with robot eyes.
Will it be another middle school science education film?
Yes.
That's what we know. You know, they say do what you know, and that's what we know.
Sure.
May I inquire? I know it's a bit of a scoop to be announcing it here on the show, but what's the subject of this new middle school educational movie?
Dante, why don't you go ahead and field this one?
Oh, yeah. Periods, where do they come from?
And then people, it's very controversial that me, a male, is directing the movie and also the camera boy.
Sure.
But I feel like with my relationship with Dunt, we're going to set each other straight on the issues.
You were inside a woman's body longer than most people ever have been.
I saw some stuff.
Yeah. So you understand it pretty well.
Well, I, for one, can't wait for that. I think that middle schools everywhere are going to be chopping at the bit to get that from you guys. But Vince, there's another segment that I'm chopping at the bit to get at.
I couldn't agree more, Elliot.
Is it called Chomping at the Bit?
It's not. That is a great guess. But we do not have a segment called Chomping at the Bit. We do, however, have a segment called Wouldn't You Like to Know?
So listeners, Wouldn't You Know is your weekly opportunity to write into Vince and I and our guests about anything you'd like to know about the town that we're in. We have time for three each week. And Dunt, it looks like you've got the first one.
Yeah, we've got a letter here. Dear Dunt, can you please talk more about the party trick you and Misty used to do? Love, Jared. Well, great. Yeah, I will. When we were growing up and we were teenagers, Misty and I, being twins, we had a special connection. What we would do is at parties, get us a little drunk on some mouthwash, and we would perform this for you. We'd stand close to each other and look into each other's eyes, open our mouths slightly so that I was breathing in her exhales and she was breathing in mine. Eventually, we would tilt our heads back and scream. And in that scream, you would hear an obituary from somewhere in the country, from some newspaper somewhere in the country, and it would be true.
I was whacked up at that one. It was so funny.
It was funny, but it was also real. The next day, you could look it up. That person had indeed died.
Is it true that the last one you guys ever did was actually Misty's obituary?
Yeah, it was.
Wow.
We should have known that was, you know, going to...
Gotta seal the deal.
Die. Yeah, but
you were so drunk on mouthwash.
Yeah, we were kind of in denial, I think.
You were just so pumped about your fresh breath for us tonight, you forgot that Misty was gonna die.
Yeah.
What was your brand for that? Scope or?
Oh yeah, Scope, 100% Scope. We don't drink alcohol because just out of principle we don't like it. But
also it'll mess with the electronics in my eyes.
Yeah.
I don't drink anything.
No. That would be a mistake.
What a haunting trick indeed. I think I remember in the days after Misty's death, the Catholic Church absconded with you to perform some rituals to try to imitate your party trick, but it can never be done again without Misty.
No, it's like taking away a horse's intestine. It's never going to poop again.
An apt metaphor.
We tried to do it together, but when we tried to do it, we breathed in each other's exhales.
Yeah.
First, we pretend to get drunk on mouthwash. We drank O'Doul's, but I didn't swallow. I spit it out because, like, the electronics. But then we started breathing in each other's breaths. And then when we screamed, all you heard was the Scooby-Doo theme song.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Didn't work.
I mean, I don't mean to push back, but that's impressive in its own right, don't you think?
It's okay, I guess.
Well, when you did that, didn't one of the Harlem Globetrotters die the next day?
It did, and his obituary read, "Harlem Globetrotter, Trotter, where are you?"
That's the one time that the Washington Generals actually won, I think.
Yeah.
It's true. Mm-hmm. It's because all the Globetrotters didn't go to the game.
That was a great question. Thank you for writing it. I truly think that would be something that everyone needs to see once before they die, but I guess it can never be achieved again. So
nope.
Good luck moving on, listeners.
Vince, it looks like you are unfurling the next letter.
I sure am. And it comes from Glenda in Pensatucky, Arkansas.
So what does Glenda have to say?
Glenda would like to know if any live-action movies were filmed in Lanford alongside of the educational material, and she includes a list of movies that might have been filmed here, and I'm going to read them for you. Waterworld, and it has a question mark next to it. Dances with Wolves, and it's got a question mark next to that. Tin Cup, and then it's got another question mark there. And then Deliverance, and then that's circled a bunch of times, and it's got stars and hearts by it.
So my discerning eye tells me that she's pretty confident Deliverance was filmed here.
This seems like a sort of a multiple choice question that she's already answered for us.
So Dunton, Emmett, what do you guys have to say? The spoiler is that Deliverance was neither shot nor filmed here, but do a lot of people make that mistake?
Yeah, they do. I think it's probably because when you come into Lanford, there's like an impending sense of despair that hits you from the moment that you cross into the town line.
It's like a fog.
Yeah, sadness fog.
Also, somebody at the border, whether you're driving or not, slaps you with broccoli.
Yep.
Where does the broccoli come from?
It's our mascot and our state flower.
It's also our state bird.
It's also our state's version of broccoli.
It's also our governor.
Did the broccoli have any point of being in Mulch? Where does it come from? I'm not remembering. I did see the movie a little while ago.
Well, it's the governor.
It's the governor in the fictional Vermont that exists in Mulch. Where does it come from?
He was the only person to actually play himself.
He insisted on it, though, didn't he?
Oh, yes. It was in his contract.
He slapped me right in my fleshy eyeball spots.
You're talking, of course, of Brock Lee, Bruce Lee's nephew, who ran a very successful 2016 campaign for the governorship of Vermont.
Yes, yes, indeed.
His whole platform was, "I'm Brock Lee."
He was really intimidating. The other opponents had no chance, in my opinion. If a piece of broccoli is like comes up and slaps you in the face and says, "Vote for me, motherfucker," you're probably going to do it.
Where did his voice come from even? Nobody even knows.
Yeah. He doesn't have a mouth from what I can tell. But then again, you don't need eyes to be able to see, so maybe he doesn't need a mouth to be able to speak.
It's true.
That was his main platform.
How can you lie with no mouth? That was what he ran on, right?
The slogan.
How can you lie with no mouth?
I must admit, Emmett and Dunt, I have more questions than when we began, but thank you for your answer all the same. Emmett, on that note, do you have the last question from one of our listeners?
I do. Here's the letter. Dear Emmett and Dunt, tell me about the moment that you knew that you were going to be stars.
Oh, this sounds nice. I would love to hear that story.
Well, it's actually it's a continuation of our sad story. The moment I knew we were going to be stars was when, sadly, when Misty's body was recovered.
Yeah.
From the swamp.
So, Mulch, Where Does It Come From? Wasn't really a cult hit until most of the cast was dead.
And then there were cult implications.
Yeah, yeah. People started to wonder, like, is there a curse around the film, as I mentioned before? Is there a weird cult that's willing all of these people to die? So the moment I saw the light go out of Misty's eyes, that's when I knew we're going to be stars.
And then ever since then, it's kind of a curse, even being a star, because we have people like you, well-meaning folks like yourselves, coming in and wanting to know our story, and all that there is to tell is despair and blood.
Well, we got something nice out of it, Emmett.
We did. we have a relationship now, as you know.
I feed you cereal every morning.
And I rub your tummy.
Yeah.
Did you guys do anything else in between the Most Where Does It Come From show and the documentary? I mean, did Hollywood approach you to star in any other roles?
They tried to get me to be the Terminator's face.
I remember that. They offered you quite a bit of money.
They did, but then the producer saw me and he said, this guy's got two robot eyes. He needs to have one for that scene where he pulls out his eyeball in the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, did this cause a rift in your relationship? Because I know that, Dunn, you played the goo that T9 turns into.
Yeah, it was kind of hard for us because I wanted us to be on the same set just like old times, you know. But I guess, I don't know, Emmett, were you jealous of me?
For a long time, I struggled with this. I did not ever want to be jealous of you. I love you so much.
Yeah.
I did not want to be jealous of you, but I was because
it's okay.
There you are, a normal person, and you get to play a freak. And I was just a freak, and I got...
You're not a freak to me, Emmett.
I'm a freak.
No, I have one dead stinky arm.
And I have two robot eyes. End of sentence.
I think you guys are a match made in heaven. And it's kind of choking me up just to watch this. I don't know about you, Vince.
I'm mostly choked up by the ever-growing waft of rotten flesh emanating from Dunn's arm.
That mixed with the waterbed water that is slowly rising is pretty bad.
The waterbed water is stinky too.
It is, Emmett. But I would be lying if I said I wasn't a little moved by the relationship that we're witnessing here today. So moved, in fact, that I think we should move to our next segment.
That was smooth.
That's what we call He Said, She Said.
So listeners, sometimes it's not enough to know about what's going on in the towns that we visit. Sometimes you want to know about who's going on, who's saying what, and who's saying what about who. That is, this segment is our gossip segment, where we drill down and find out what the town is talking about.
Vince and I love gossip. It's a huge part of small town culture, and what better than having one guest talk about gossip than having two guests talk about gossip in the town? So, Dunt and Emmett, let's dish. What is going on? What are people saying these days?
A lot of people are accusing me of going around and sneaking into people's houses when they're taking naps and licking their forks. I just want to put a rest to those rumors and say that they're true.
So you go in, you open the silverware drawer in the kitchen, lick them, do you place them back in the drawer?
Yeah, but I put one in where the spoons are to let them know I've been there.
I think, you know, that would be kind of a deal breaker for me. Everything else up until then, I would be fine with. But the fork and the spoon slot.
It's my way of coping with grief because me and Misty used to have a game called Fork.
Where you would drink all out of mouthwash.
Yeah.
And you would breathe on forks.
Yeah.
The forks would scream obituaries.
And she's gone now, so I try to do it myself. And I'm sorry, everybody in town, if I've licked your forks and you felt bad about it, but just don't fucking take a nap then and I won't come in your house. God damn it. It's not that hard.
It's okay, Dunt.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Misty!
Dunt, don't do this right now.
Yeah!
Misty, Dunt, we're live coast to coast. Oh my god, it's happening.
Is she turning into Misty right now?
She's turning into Misty. It's happening again. No. I was hoping this was... Oh my god.
Avenge me!
Misty, is that you? Misty?
Sorry, what happened?
Nothing.
Wait, are you Dunt or are you Misty?
Oh, I'm Dunt. Why would you think I was Misty?
Nothing.
That's weird.
It's not... Yeah, nothing. Don't worry about it.
Nothing.
Okay.
Emmett, what's going on in town for you, buddy?
Give me a second here. That was fucked up. Well, okay. So you know me, I hang out at rollerblading parks. And
Lanford has several rollerblading parks, I think.
They do. I volunteer as a security camera because my robot eyes swivel in my head like an iguana's.
Oh, so you don't rollerblade? You are just the security camera for the rollerblading park specifically?
I do rollerblade, but I rollerblade the perimeter so you can get a 360 view. I'm like the Google Earth of rollerblading parks.
You're much better than any camera could ever be.
Thanks, Dunt.
So you probably have caught a lot of stuff on tape that may or may not be used to blackmail other citizens of the town.
I did. Mm-hmm. As you know, I'm on a 24-hour schedule, so...
I didn't know that, actually.
I am. Okay. There's an IV stuck in my brain, so I can be fed because I can't drink stuff. So there's a drone that floats over the rollerblading park, and it holds nutrients in a bag, and the IV goes down into my head, and I rollerblade around the park day and night. One night, I saw Governor Broccoli and Toronto Mayor Rob Ford smoking crack in the half pipe.
Did they notice you?
They did. They invited me to smoke crack with them.
And so what was your response to that?
I said, is it liquid? Because that'll mess up my circuits. And they said, no. And I said, well, crack me up.
So this gossip is what started as an implication really is just you clarifying that you were smoking crack with Rob Ford and Governor Broccoli in the rollerblade park.
Yes.
Well,
that was like a turning moment. That was a big moment in your life, Emmett, because I feel like you made two friends that day.
I did. One was Rob Ford and the other was crack.
And you had a pre-existing relationship with Governor Broccoli before this? I mean, you probably saw him around the set of Mulch, Where Does It Come From?
He was around to film and he noticed my hard work ethic despite my eyelessness. And he invited me to be on his cabinet of decision makers, which was not a technical tome at the time, but it became one. And he even wrote a book about it, Me and My Decision Makers.
He was rude in that book, though. Chapter 17 was called Fucking Robot Freak. And I thought that was
kind of unnecessary.
Yeah. He was on a quack binge for days, and he took out his anger on me. And the residual anger still hung around when he wrote his book. He just couldn't accept the fact that he was a smack addict. And he took it out on me and called me a swiveling-eyed robot freak with an IV in his head, rollerblading fuck.
Which is all true, but rude.
Well, yeah, well said. That really does seem unnecessary, especially for someone who shared not only a bond in the film, but also a political position with you, and then also shared the gift of crack cocaine with you. So I really think that was out of line. But as we all know, political office comes with a lot of pressures. And, you know, it's a fast-paced world, Elliot.
It is. And I think we should get to our next fast-paced segment.
The fastest-paced segment we've got. It's called Did You Know?
Listeners, Did You Know is our weekly rapid fast fact segment that Vince and I and our guests fire five facts at you from whatever town we are in. Guys, I've got the first one.
Go.
Vince, Dunt, and Emmett, did you know Lanford, Vermont was actually approached to make several other middle school science education films?
I didn't know this. What were they?
It's true. They were actually all mulch-based, but it seems like Dunt, you and your sister kind of spearheaded the movement to only have Lanford remain a one-hit mulch wonder.
Yeah, Misty and I just didn't want to taint Mulch, you know, Where Does Mulch Come From's legacy with another film that was terrible. I mean, I don't know if you are in agreement with me, but I think it's one of the top 20 films of all time, right up there with Casablanca and Ghostbusters 2. To me, I want to keep the memory pure. So we ran those other films out of town.
Me and the governor made a lot of propaganda films against them.
Yeah.
Using a lot of Hitler footage.
Yeah. Yeah. So we achieved our goal. And that's something I won't ever forget about Misty.
So even though this probably would have led to you getting a lot of different work playing Mulch in all these films, you still didn't want it to be in town.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Once you hit, I don't know, if you're an actor, like you know this, like if you are able to hit that role and do a perfect performance, which I don't want to toot my own biscuit, but that's what I think I was when in Mulch, I nailed it. Mm-hmm. And you can't ever get greatness twice.
That does make sense.
That's insightful. And coming from a woman on the inside of the industry, that makes a lot of sense. I didn't know that. Did you guys know that both Lanford and Emmett here were the subjects of the most ever viewed Dateline NBC special, Womb with a View, The Boy Who Gestated Too Long?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. I was on that show.
Emmett, the entire four-hour special was about your life. You must have noticed the cameras that were following you for days on end to produce the footage.
You didn't think that Lester Holt was just a close personal friend of yours, did you?
I did. He came in and he said, I'm your close personal friend. Don't
people,
mind.
A lot of people have taken advantage of Emmett over the years for his special abilities.
I'm a freak. It's not special abilities. I'm a freak.
Emmett, stop it.
Stop that.
Touch my tummy.
Emmett, now in full disclosure, this was before you got your robot eyes. So you were only using the sense of feel that you had at the time.
Yeah, and I thought that he just had a lot of also mechanical parts. because, you know,
it's not your fault, Emmett.
No, I am surprised that as a professional camera boy, you didn't notice the feel of TV cameras.
Can I be honest with you guys?
Sure.
I was lying to myself. I knew what was going on, but I refused to believe it because during that period of time, I was so high on quack and I had moved on to other drugs too. I was drinking Drano and the pills, and I was really busy with my schedule on America's Top Talent, that it was all a haze. And I vented a lot of anger and frustration during those interviews, and I just forced myself to forget.
You're in a better place now, Emmett.
Allow me to apologize then for opening old wounds.
I don't know if I can forgive you.
Several of those wounds seem to still be open just from you falling down so much without eyes.
It's true. This one that I have on my left arm, this festering sore.
Oh, yeah.
Where birds have made a nest in.
I think it's beautiful.
I wouldn't change it for the world.
No.
The nest is made of mulch, and so it all comes full circle. And with that, Emmett, do you have the next Did You Know for us?
I do. Did you know that there was a whole Dateline special about me? It was a 4-hour special.
Was this a different one that we just covered?
Yeah.
Really?
There was one after I got my robot eyes, and I was like, whoa, look at all these cameras following me, and that guy, Westo. And they were following me around, and they were like, excuse me, you're the boy from Womb with a View. Did you know that? And I said, I was so high on crack and pills and Drano, and I was really busy with America's Next Top Talent that I was lying to myself, and I tried to forget. And they just replayed that clip for 4 hours.
Yeah.
And so to those who want to reference, that special, of course, is called I've Only Got Eyes for You. And it's the story of the manufacturing and medical marvel that is implanting those eyes in your head.
There are two GoPros. They hooked it up with stuff from Army Surplus Store. With the little light switches and wires you can get there. They stuck them in my brain. Everything appears in fisheye.
Yeah, how many settings do those eyes have?
One, fisheye.
Oh. I see.
That explains why the movies that you have made are very fisheye heavy.
And all point of view, and no cutting, even when I go to the bathroom.
But that's real, you know, that's what people want to see. I don't want to see something edited, you know, like, I want to see something real. And when you whip out your dick and piss, that's true.
I carry piss in my pocket separate. I whip it out sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, that's keeping it real. Something that I want to keep real is our next Did You Know fact. And Dunn, what is it?
Yeah, did you know in Lanford, Vermont, pickles can't exist. If you bring a pickle over the town border, it'll disintegrate in your hands. Just something about the town. Pickles don't want to be a part of it, and I don't blame them. I don't blame them.
It just disintegrates.
Yeah, they're gone. Sometimes they disintegrate. I should say other times they flat out run away.
Wow. Do you think it has anything to do with Misty or any of the other seances you were conducting?
We called a lot of ghosts over our time, a lot of angry spirits, demons. Some say that she was a demon all along.
She's very much like a Laura Palmer type character.
Mm.
I see.
Into sex and coke. And running into the woods and dying.
Doesn't really explain the pickle thing too much, but, you know, works for me.
Oh, yeah, the pickles.
I didn't know that, guys, but did you know that alongside the filming of the 2007 Where Are They Now documentary was also another documentary entitled Where Were They Not? And that just documents every part of the town that didn't come in contact with you guys or mulch. Where does it come from?
Yeah, since then I've decided to rectify that and drag myself over every inch of the town by my hands so that I can say I've touched every part of it with my body.
Your double jointedness is one of your strongest gifts.
Yeah, my dead arm just kind of drags behind me as I claw my way up every hill and valley.
Can you even feel the flesh being whipped off it anymore?
No, I can't.
Wow.
It really is dead.
There's a lot more bone exposure than there was 2 weeks ago.
That's true. That's true. But think about Misty in her grave. Do you think she's not? Bits aren't falling off of her left and right?
They're gone. It's been 20 years. She's bones.
Indeed, Dunn, some of the loose flesh is mingling with the rising water to create some sort of a cadaverous stew inside our RV. And as a team of doctors is banging on our windows, presumably to access you and provide medical care, I think it's just about time to thank you both for taking the time to join us and to get to our sadly, our final segment.
And that's Wish You Were Here.
So listeners, maybe not this week, but most weeks, you probably wish that you could be with us on our journeys, learning about the places we visit. And we wish that too. But since you can't, this is the next best thing, our audio postcard from us to you.
It starts like this. Dear listener, wish you were here in Lanford, Vermont.
A town that was home to the controversial but beloved middle school educational film, Mulch, Where Does It Come From?
And not only that, but the follow-up, Where Are They Now? Documentary.
A town where pickles cannot exist, where the young die early, and where talent rises to the top.
A town where, if you have a mouth, you can't lie, and if you don't have eyes, you still can see.
A town where rollerblading has never been safer, but filmmaking has never been more dangerous.
And a town where Dunt and Emmett, the stars, in my opinion, of Mulch, Where Does It Come From, call home and will call home forever.
Please kill me.
Farewell from these parts to yours.
Hey listeners, hope you enjoyed Lanford, Vermont as much as we did, and we hope that you join us next week when we're in Truman, Indiana.
Truman, Indiana is an interesting town where every citizen is an actor in a reality show starring the town's most beloved citizen. Proves to be a fun one.